Guzman is a 14-year veteran of the Los Angeles Police Department, rewarded Officer of the Year with a stellar career and track record. He refused to cooperate with the injection mandate because, like any normal human being, he saw that what was being demanded of people was unconstitutional and a gross overreach of government. He was subsequently relieved of his duties, as was anyone with a conscience, and is now exposing the systematic destruction of the police force, not only in the United States, but globally. The patterns are the same. The same tactics are being used in every country to demoralize and destabilize the nations. But what he reveals specific to the LAPD in this interview is truly shocking, and I guarantee is coming to a town near you. In this discussion, we also expose how this systematic poisoning of policing is linked to the smart city agenda, which is to create pockets of literal ghettos around the world. Stay tuned. Michael joins us right after a quick word from one of the sponsors of this show who make it possible for us to continue getting the truth out. Don't go anywhere. This is crucial information. The last time the economy looked this bad, the stock market tanked. The economy collapsed and inflation hit record highs. But at the same time, the price of gold shot up 1,300%. It could happen again. Can you afford to miss what could be the biggest gold and silver boom of our generation? Not to mention, precious metals can potentially safeguard your future with tangible assets rather than just digits on your bank manager's screen, which could disappear at the press of a button. Visit the link in the description below or call 855-913-0814. That's 855-913-0814 to protect your retirement savings and get up to $10,000 in free silver. This offer is exclusive to the United States. So if you're in the US, call and protect your wealth today. Michael McMahon, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Maria. Thanks for having me.
It's wonderful to have you on. So first and foremost, thank you for your service. As we said, Michael McMahon is a 14-year veteran of the Los Angeles Police Department. Michael, before we get into all of the topics that we want to discuss today, give the viewers a little bit of background about you, your experience, and what led you to start speaking out.
Well, it started in very early of 2020 when this pandemic started. I was a tenured police officer with the Los Angeles Police Department. And as a police officer, I'm obviously very suspicious. You know, I collect evidence and I analyze data and I make educated decisions. And I had seen very early on that if I wanted to know what was happening with regards to the pandemic, I had to, if I wanted to know the science, I had to listen to the silenced. And they were silencing very early on, you know, Dr. Robert Malone and Peter McCullough and Dr. Jane Ruby and all of the likes. And I started following them and I started making my own educated decisions. And I often had told my children, I have very small children, that, you know, if you want to dispel fear, educate yourself on it. And that's what I ended up doing. And, you know, the state of emergency within the state of California, the city of Los Angeles came into effect. And to be quite honest with you, I didn't comply. I didn't want to comply. It was against my moral code as a police officer because I took an oath to protect the Constitution of the United States. And in a state of emergency, our Constitution here in America, it's not put on hold. And I stopped complying. I refused to mask. I refused to test. And ultimately, I refused to vaccinate. And that was the reason for my dismissal from the Los Angeles Police Department.
I find it fascinating that you say, you know, in your training as a police officer, you're taught to think critically. You're taught to, you know, really evaluate every situation, collect the facts, make a decision. Again, critical thinking. And yet so many of your colleagues didn't employ the same approach to this entire situation. Do you think that it's a systematic, indoctrination of the police force, as we've seen, you know, in educational institutions, the medical institution? What have you witnessed over the years?
Yeah, I think it's been a slow rollout. You know, the overall tenure of a police officer within the city of LA has drastically decreased. I believe when I came on in 2008, the average police officer had about 11 years of experience. And you're just not seeing that now with the demonization of policing across America or across the world as a whole. You're seeing that the very good candidates who should be police officers, who are critical thinking police officers, you're seeing them actually walk away from that career choice because they know better. No man or woman wants to be called or labeled a racist or be hated, just not even for the color of their skin, but for the color of the uniform that they wear. Going forward, I think people, and it reminds me of a quote by Albert Camus, who has said that those who lack the courage will always find a philosophy to justify it. And that's what we're seeing in policing right now. Those who refused to stand up and speak out against the atrocities of this COVID narrative, those who refused to get uncomfortable, we're seeing the effects of it now. Because if we all came together in the very beginning, when masking was taking a hold of American society or worldwide society, if we all just got together and said no, I don't think we'd be here where we are right now, 3 years into this ordeal, now looking at, the accelerated Agenda 2030.
You're
It's so it's
absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Michael. This is the second interview I've conducted this week with a police officer. Well, in Australia here, a former police sergeant. And for anyone who hasn't seen that yet, it's on Zero Time. You can see that on zmedia.com. It's our Australian broadcast. And he's of the same opinion. If we all just banded together at the start, but it's the same for every industry. If all the doctors just said, "Hang on a minute, something's wrong here." If all the police officers just said, "Hold on," I really think that the whole agenda of COVID would have been obliterated within about 48 hours. If people just said, "No, we're not going to go to work. You know what? You want to stop the economy? We're going to stop it for you. None of us are going to work until you lift these vaccine mandates, injection mandates." That is how easy it would have been, Michael. So looking back in hindsight now, when people aren't in a state of fear anymore, do you think I'm presuming that you're still talking to police officers that are still in the force. Do you think that they are able to see that now, looking back in hindsight?
well, I mean, I equate it to a lot of what Alvin Toffler had said about future shocks. When your brain is constantly inundated daily with these astounding occurrences, this narrative that has been pervasive, it makes the brain lazy. And I think a lot of what's happening now, that people are just going along to get along. And here in America, you've had a few of your freedoms, quote unquote, returned to you, and people are just complacent. So I think that's what's going on. In backtracking as well, that was the reason why, myself and four other people had started the organization that I represent, the Roll Call for Freedom. As a co-founder of that, we took our individual sovereignty, our rights as human beings. We saw that as being the most important thing to speak out for, and so we started Roll Call for Freedom as just several LAPD officers, and ultimately we welcomed in the civilian workforce of the city of Los Angeles, and we're fighting for our individual freedoms, our medical freedoms as sovereign men and women of this earth. So that's where we go from there.
Well, I have a lot of respect for that, because a lot of people may think, well, what's the point now? What's the point in continuing these things? COVID's kind of over. But for anyone that's been paying attention, they would know that we're far from over. COVID was the beta test, and
Correct.
we are facing much, much more sinister plans moving forward, and much more drastic measures to control things like to aim to control things like climate change or future pandemics. Just yesterday, or a couple of days ago, the news came out about the UK. They're about to send a widespread text message to all UK citizens as a test run for alerting them about either war or a pandemic. So a couple of things are happening here, Michael. They're keeping the fear cycle going because no one's scared of COVID anymore. They've realized it's just a sniffle. And the other thing that they're doing is getting us ready for some sort of disaster. Now, talk to us about specific to the LAPD, you've sent me some photos here, which I want to bring up on the screen. I want you to go
Sure.
through them for us, that there are some crucial points that people need to understand about the systematic destruction of the police and the way that they manage the police.
Absolutely. And if I could just go into a little bit of the backstory where this came from,
Of course.
this past November, the state of California had our election cycle. A former Congresswoman, Karen Bass, was elected the mayor of Los Angeles. Now, Karen Bass in the past has been a very outspoken, I'd call her a communist or a socialist or even a Marxist, as she's often spoken in high regards of Che Guevara and the communist Cuban regimes. She's visited Cuba multiple times. So she is now the chief executive officer of the city of Los Angeles. On top of that, Maria, we also have several socialists now elected to city council seats in our city. They're the Democratic Socialists of America, the LA-based chapter. So Karen Bass had actually in I think it was 2020 had tried to author a what was called the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act while she was still in Congress. And in that, she says that she worked with the police union that used to represent me and the current LAPD chief. And what she wanted to see was a reimagining, as they call it, of American policing. And that's dangerous in and of itself because whether it was the BLM, the Floyd riots, Antifa, we're seeing a systematic destruction of law and order, especially within the state of California. We've got the dangerous governor in Gavin Newsom, or Gavin Mussolini, as I like to call him, releasing criminals onto the streets, something to the tune of, I think it was 76,000 criminals released from the California state prison system during COVID. And then also, we are seeing these insane laws being passed in the state as well, such as Senate Bill 960, which removes it removes the qualification of being a United States citizen in order to be a police officer in the state of California. So people that snuck into this country, came to this country, skirted the laws, no longer are now able to become police officers in this state. They broke the law to get in, and they are now tasked with enforcing the law,
Yes.
which just it's absolutely mind-boggling.
So my comments on this, but if I can just interject here, my comments on this
Please.
the Australian former police sergeant was right before he came on. The police used to be tasked with the duty to protect and serve the people and uphold the laws and enforce the laws of the land, and now they're being tasked with enforcing the New World Order laws that aren't the laws of the land, that seek to subvert the people. And those laws were, for the most part, passed while everyone was distracted with COVID. I can't tell you how many insane laws were passed here, Michael. We've now got legislation in the state of Western Australia that allows authorized COVID officers, whoever these people may be, to come into your house, strip you naked, take you to a facility against your will, and it forcefully inject you and your children, and you can't do a thing about it. That is now in the law. So these laws are against traditional laws, against the laws that were there to protect people, and all existing officers and the new ones, illegal immigrants coming in, are going to be serving New World Order laws. It is terrifying.
Correct. I mean, it's just like the Nazi brown shirts, the civilian police battalion back in Germany that had that carried out so many atrocities during World War II. We're getting in America, and this may be worldwide, Maria, but a nation taught to hate itself will never stand up and protect it when the time comes. And
Correct.
that's what we're seeing in the indoctrination of our school children. They are being taught to see their freedoms as selfishness. They're being taught to hate their country. And this in turn is why we're not seeing, this is in turn why we're not seeing people stand up. The Gen Zs, for lack of a better term, they came out this past election season and they voted for the most ridiculous things. They came out in droves in America, and they voted for the most insane socialist-minded laws, because they're now so dependent on our governmental system that they're not free thinkers any longer. There's no such thing as a free thinker in our society.
Yes. And the more you demoralize people, I've spoken about this as well, Michael, what they've done is tried to destroy any type of patriotism. And this is what they're doing in the United States, because sure, your constitution is so strong. So the way that they're doing it is by making people hate their own country. How do we do that? Oh, well, we let all these illegals in. We make people think there's no hope for this country. There's nothing left to fight for. You know, I want to leave. But anywhere you go is the same. It's the same tactic everywhere. In Australia, we've never had a very strong sense of patriotism. Now, even less than before. For those of us that are aware of this, Michael, it's so clear. I just hope that this conversation will reach law enforcement officers so that they begin to realize what is actually happening here. But I really want to go through these documents that you've sent. So these Los Angeles Police Department metrics, talk us through page one of this, please.
So, I mean, the metrics itself, it's a pretty standard. There wasn't a ton that surprised me. And if you could put up page one, take a look at number five. It states that by July 2023, working with the Deputy Mayor of Public Safety to engage in a third party to evaluate the personnel process and identify obstacles for entry for recruits who fail to qualify for training. That is so terrible for officers as a whole, because if you're familiar with the incident that just happened here in Memphis, Tennessee, we had five police officers arrested for second degree murder for the beating death of a young unarmed Black man. The officers themselves were African American as well. But what struck me, what stood out to most of the law enforcement officers in this country, and there are 700,000 officers in this country, but what stood out is that there was a lack of training. There was a lack of investigation into the backgrounds of these five individuals. And that was made certain in what they call reform-minded policing. After the death of George Floyd in this country, Democrat mayors were looking for reform of policing. And what they're doing is they're trying to bring more people into this profession that are thinking the same way that they are. And that is what happened with this Tyre Nichols incident. Five Black officers that probably should not have been there, actually definitely should not have been there, are now stand accused of second degree murder for the beating death. And I would encourage everybody to take a look at how upsetting this video is, because there's nothing that a good cop hates more than a bad cop. And these were five bad cops. You know, I have never wanted to be anything in my life other than a father and a police officer, and I had I had God's grace to be both of them, and I take great pride in this profession. And we are now seeing the systematic demise of police departments and policing as a whole in this country. So that was a terrible thing for me to look at, you know, to identify the obstacles to just get more people in, you know, more butts in the seat. Because right now in the city of Los Angeles, there's a 9,600 sworn officers. This coming year, 600 of those officers are set to retire. Now, typically the department will hire to attrition to make up the difference, but people aren't applying any longer. They are only set to hire less than 400 officers for this coming year. Now, we also have to deal with the Summer Olympics are coming in 2028. They're looking to have approximately 12,000 officers patrolling the streets by that time. It's never going to happen. But if you're removing these obstacles that keep people from being hired, not being a United States citizen, that's a great one. Having felony arrests on the record, drug charges, domestic battery, things of that nature, they're going to look the other way, because all they're concerned about right now is getting police officers on the streets. But with these officers that shouldn't qualify to be officers, you're going to see the uptick in violence against citizenry. It's going to rise because they shouldn't be there. They don't have the right temperament. They don't have the mental capabilities. They don't have the respect for their community. that that critical thinking officers or more mature officers could. Because I'll be honest with you, this is a calling. It's not a job where every 2 weeks you get a paycheck. What we preach in our academy is a warrior mindset. You have to have the right mental capacity to do this job. You've got to have thick skin. But anyway, moving on to the next one.
Well, if I can pause you there, what we're talking about, Michael, and viewers would remember scenes out of Australia, not very far from my house, actually. A gentleman was walking to a petrol station. He didn't have a mask with him. He walked into the petrol station and he purchased a mask. Now, whether he saw the police and quickly ran in to get a mask, or whether his intention the entire time was to get a mask, people can make those assumptions. His official story is that his intention was to walk to the petrol station to buy a mask because he didn't have one. So the police came, tackled him to the ground, started kneeing him and kicking him in the ribs and beating this man to the ground because he was not wearing a mask and he went in to purchase one. The situation, the horrible tragedy that you're talking about with Nichols in the United States is, again, this brutality that we are now accustomed to seeing, apparently, because the type of people that are being recruited are not people with a conscience. They're not people of character. I have tremendous respect for police. They give their lives to serve the people, but more and more, they don't see themselves that way. They see themselves as enforcers, and not there to protect the people, but to work against them. That is what we're seeing. It's widespread, Michael. It's very alarming.
You're absolutely right, Maria. And you know, I've often said that the purpose of a police force, right? I mean, in America, we get our powers from the consent of the governed, right? And police should not be seen as the armies of the elite, but the protectors of the people. Plain and simple, period, full stop. We are the protectors of the people. We do not carry out the whims of whoever is in government at the time. But that's the problematic thing that we're seeing more and more, is that people are afraid, especially in positions of power. You know, we're being taught here in America that masculinity is toxic, right? And so now we're seeing weak, ineffectual men. Masculinity is not toxic. The absence of masculinity is toxic. Weak men are abusive and spiteful. And that's what you're seeing in our government today. If you're afraid of a masculine man, wait until you see what a weak man does in power. Wow. And that's why we're seeing this uptick in violence and these weak, ineffectual men going out there in mass, right? Because they're cowards by themselves, but in mass, they're attacking the public. And I just can't stand for it. I can't stand for it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And when you say wait until you see what weak men are capable of, and they are weak and they have no character, they can't stand being held to account. They can't stand any form of debate. They just, you know, get emotional over it and, you know, immediately offended at everything. It's bizarre to me. Strong characters can handle a bit of a challenge and they'll do it with grace, and they'll do it, you know, respectfully, but with strength. So, okay, right. Back to this document. Would you like me to bring up one or two?
Let's go with page two.
Sure.
Yeah, page two. Number 9 and number 10 were especially frightful for me. Number 9 speaks to, within the city of Los Angeles, police officers are afforded certain rights under what's called the Police Officers Bill of Rights. And we have the option that, for instance, before I was terminated from my employment, what I was charged with was failing to obey the order of a chief, and the chief of police sent me to a tribunal to defend my rights as a police officer. Now, I was sent to a board of rights because I refused to cooperate with the COVID mandates that was set forth by the city council of LA. So they charged me with in essence an administrative crime. But I had the option at that time to either choose a tribunal of other police officers, usually a commander or a deputy chief, or I had the option to go with a civilian board, which is usually made up of attorneys and whatnot. That is a right that the voters allowed us to have, and I think it was in 2019, the voters of Los Angeles had it on their ballots to allow us to select a civilian board. Well, now the city of Los Angeles, the mayor of LA, and a activist city council member, Soto Martinez, they're trying to pass a motion within the city council to remove the civilian board of rights from us as an option. The thing that's dangerous about that is that by only allowing other command staff officers to sit in judgment of us, well, they're not really representative of us because who do they answer to? They answer to the chief of police. And if the chief of police deems it so, well, it rolls downhill to us. We'll never be afforded a legitimate opportunity to defend ourselves. And I see that as being problematic. The other one, number 10, is that by September of 23, the new mayor wants data from the US Department of Justice to identify, discipline, and or terminate officers associated with right-wing domestic extremist organizations. Only right-wing? I mean, right now, the city of Los Angeles has a documented Black Lives Matter activist currently working as a police officer. Now, nowhere in that short sentence does it mention anything such as Black Lives Matter, Antifa, any sort of left-wing organization. It
Oh, it
only
specifies
identifies,
right wing.
it only specifies right-wing. And there was a document that was leaked. I think it was last week. It was an FBI document that sought to identify and go after religious organizations, or I think they called it Catholic. It had something to do with Roman Catholics
Yes.
being extremists, religious zealots. I mean, where is that? How is that constitutional in the United States going after, again, right-wing domestic extremist organizations? It
How
is
is it even
absolutely.
constitutional to call these people right-wing extremists and domestic terrorists? How,
Right.
at what point did Roman Catholics become extremists and domestic terrorists? Let me tell you something though, Michael. We've got the same thing here in Australia. Recently, there was a tragic shooting in the state of Queensland. It turns out the people that were involved in that shooting, or the shooters, as the media have told us, were Christians. And so now Australia is talking about one particular group of Christians, pre-millennials, but also all Christians being extremists and domestic terrorists.
Exactly.
So, and I recall, I know the story that you're talking about. It's actually backed up by an FBI whistleblower that came out on Fox News. There was
Yes.
also a story that came out about a Baptist church that was being followed in, was being tracked specifically churches in the state of California, during COVID, for not just within church, but tracking the citizens of those churches specifically.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been blessed to meet several of those pastors that did take a stand for their rights as individuals who did believe in the sovereignty of the self. And yeah, they were tracked, they were identified, and they ended up having to sue the state of California or somewhere in the federal court system to in order to remain open. But now look where we are, 2023, even in and I, you probably ha you probably have something like this in Australia. But now, even our medical companies are creating specific codes to identify unvaccinated individuals in our country. I mean,
It hasn't
it
been
just.
identified as occurring here yet.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt if it was, but we know about that from the United States. I think Todd Callender first brought it to us on an interview many months ago, about those medical codes, and it is it was that was the first step towards tracking. Well, all of these little steps were towards tracking people that haven't had the injections. That's going to get much worse in future.
I agree. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I don't know where to go from there. You know, it's just, what are you going to, it's the total collapse of society as it is right now. And it's led by the Bilderbergs and the, you know, Vanguards and the Black Rocks, and especially the George Soros's, you know. No, I challenge anyone to present a situation where George Soros has more of an impact on any state in this country than California right now. You know, but that's another topic for a few more minutes. I want to close off with the last two of these, this page, page 3 and number 18 and number 19. What it's seeking to identify is, again, by September of this year, they want a strategic plan to increase the number of new police officers, as you can see, lateral officers, which means police officers from other departments, by 500 per year. But including innovative recruitment strategies targeting non-traditional talent, such as social workers, teachers, and nurses. Now, they all present an incredible skill set, I'm sure. But again, in America, we see people on the worst days in their lives. You have to have that warrior mindset going in. Once you strap on that uniform, you pin that badge, your mindset has to be solid. You know you're going to see violence. You know you're going to see hate. You know you're going to see all this other stuff. And I just don't see that as being very beneficial, having social workers serve their purpose. But will they be there to protect you? You meaning the other officer, the partner officer.
No, Michael, what it's going to do is feed into the... this new criminal reform dream that they have of, you know, allowing criminals back into society, going easy on criminals, not actually punishing them so that they never learn from their actions. And, you know, the increased crime rate, as we're seeing, it's skyrocketing in the United States, particularly in Democratic states, because of this approach. And so, again, nothing against social workers, but what you're saying, their role is generally compassion. Their role is generally working with the individual towards reform later on. But if you bring them in at the point where they need to be held accountable for their actions, this is a very risky approach.
100%. I couldn't have put it a better way. They are an integral part of the process, but not the tip of the spear.
Correct.
That is not where they belong. You know, this is an ugly job. There's no getting around it. And you need men and women who are willing to step into the fray immediately, put themselves at risk to effect an arrest or stop a, you know, potential shooter or something of that nature. You need the brave men and women to jump in there. Social workers, I don't take anything away from them, but they're integral 3 or 4 steps down the road. So, you know, and lastly, and this is the one I think is probably one of the most racist of this plan, is to promote diversity and inclusion within the department, including metrics on gender, race, and ethnicity broken down by rank. You know, Martin Luther King, right? I think he'd be rolling in his grave if he saw what our world is becoming. You know, equality always trumps equity, right? We need, you know, judge a man by the content of his character, not the color of his skin or his ethnicity. There's no one I would rather, I'll work with anyone, but if you're a jerk, I'm going to let you know you're a jerk. You know, you shouldn't be there because of your skin tone or your ethnic background or anything like that. We need good men and women in these positions. And by backfilling due to a quota system, it's not the way that a police department anywhere should operate. So,
well, Michael, we've seen these diversity hires go extremely wrong. Absolutely. Biden's nuclear official charged with stealing luggage, he was, you know, celebrated because he was trans or whatever. I don't even know what he was. Dressed as a lady. And you know, all of his appearances on social media were all about how he gets to be himself in his job. Yourself is a thief. And, you know, like, we're talking diversity hires do not produce character. It does nothing. And all of the people, it's hilarious to me because all of the people that have bought into this thinking, oh yeah, they're looking after the underdogs. No, no, no. They're destroying you, making you think you're underdogs by thinking that they're supporting the marginalized in society. They want you to be a victim. They want you to be, to think that you're somehow being given a voice when actually it is all for your destruction and you end up with a luggage thief as, you know, head of nuclear.
Absolutely. I didn't send this to you, but, you know, I have a story right here from Fox News that says Los Angeles launches an unarmed policing alternative, including yoga, healing circles, and meditation. That's coming out of the LAPD. They're launching, like, essentially unarmed social workers to go out and confront the population that has having mental breakdowns, and they're offering them
yoga. Sorry,
can you see?
Michael, this is atrocious, and I shouldn't be laughing, but the ridiculousness of that.
Yeah, I mean, where do I go from there? You know, and they gave $2.2 million in funding to this program, sponsored by a city councilwoman named Monica Rodriguez. Yoga, alternative healing circles, and meditation. I don't know where to go from there, Maria.
You're gonna walk up to an armed criminal who hasn't had any repercussions for his criminal behavior, keeps getting let off the hook, and offer him to sit down and do, you know, the I don't even know what the poses are. You know, bow down to the sun or something. Let's do some breathing exercises. Are you insane? I mean, these social workers are in danger.
Right. And good luck finding social workers that want to get out there for whatever they're going to pay them to get there before the police get there. And they're trying to, and now we have laws in the state of California that are called the alternative to incarceration. So if a rape suspect ends up getting if someone rapes someone, they get into going through the court system, found guilty, a judge is now being ordered to find alternatives to incarceration to pay for that crime.
Like what? There's no accounting. What sort of, do we know what they'll be proposing?
Diversion programs. Well, diversion programs, halfway houses, things of that nature, where there's still an opportunity that they can go to jail. But now through some of the ridiculous propositions that were passed in the state, such as Proposition 47, Proposition 57, and AB 109, they were termed as sort of a reorganization of the criminal justice system within the state prisons. So, you know, it's essentially the decriminalization of drug crimes. No one does any time for those whatsoever. You can steal up to $950 worth of merchandise in this state and only be charged with a misdemeanor. Some crimes will only go to the local jail and be held for the minimum amount of time. In the state of California during COVID, the height of COVID, we had a zero bail policy, which made it very difficult to hold criminals accountable for the crimes that they committed. Because of the fear of COVID and spreading through the prison system, they allowed criminals to go free with zero bail for the better part of going on 3 years now.
COVID was the catalyst for so many of these measures. And if people can't see it right now, I don't know that they ever will. Exactly what you're describing. Okay. Conditioning tool for what they plan to later do, locking people into 5 kilometer radiuses and telling them they can't go to the supermarket, conditioning for the smart cities. Let me tell you exactly for the viewers what Michael is describing here. An article came out just this week, Inside the 15-Minute Conspiracy Theory Sucking in Gullible Australians. This is top story on news.com.au, a huge Australian reporting site. A conspiracy theory is spreading across the globe with countless gullible Australians being sucked into the lies. In recent years, conspiracy theories that were almost once unheard of have spread like wildfire, with a growing number of Australians now skeptical of things like vaccines, 5G, and election results. All things to be skeptical of, by the way. But among the bizarre list of beliefs is one conspiracy theory that has increasingly made headlines across the world, and that is 15-minute cities. So let me tell you what. Number one, they're attacking this 15-minute conspiracy, not theory, conspiracy, because it is a conspiracy to trap the people of the world into digital prisons. This conspiracy that they're attacking now is because it's getting so much attention. Everything that you're describing right now, Michael, is the plan to force people to live in these ghettos.
Yes.
They want to create these little ghettos where there's lawlessness. They want you to be on drugs. That's why they keep legalizing drugs everywhere. It's got nothing to do with them, oh, suddenly caring that marijuana has medicinal properties. CBD is a thing on its own. I've been criticized wildly for this. CBD, I do not deny that it's helped a lot of people, but that's not what legalizing cannabis is about. It's about getting people to use it, get high. In Australia, we're legalizing ecstasy and you know, things like LSD, for example. We're going to legalize those things now. They want you in these ghettos. They want you living in some sort of a false reality plugged into the metaverse because you're going to be so miserable with the life outside. It's going to be unlivable. Chicago's a perfect example of how unlivable it's going to be. For anyone that doesn't follow what's happening in Chicago, please go and have a look at the already implemented ghetto there. So this is everything that you're describing, Michael, is leading up to these 15-minute ghettos.
Absolutely. And look at the city of London, what they're trying to implement right now, you know, breaking it up into zones. And, you know, I feel like we're walking into a living version of the Hunger Games within the next 10 years.
In Australia, they call them districts, Michael.
Oh, there you go. There you go. You know, it's the propaganda that's being pushed upon the global society. I mean, it's not only meant to misinform, but it does push the agenda. And that agenda is to exhaust your critical thinking skills and just annihilate them. You know, that's what they're hoping to do. Push. You've been following the incident in Ohio, I take it.
Yes.
The explosion, the release of chemicals, you know, I believe it's under the Agenda 2030 rules. The United States government can come in and seize that now diseased land.
Yes.
And force all of those citizens of East Palestine, Ohio, into whatever ghetto or smart city they come up with now. I mean, over the last, 10 days, I think there's been 16, 17 explosions of factories and train derailments and all of this other stuff. We're being conditioned for something that's coming down the line.
There was another one just this morning. I got the news of another one in Ohio, a metal factory.
Yes. Yep. A metal factory. And there was and now I had seen a story in Stanislaus County up in Northern California outside of Sacramento. Very rich. It's where the almond trees are, avocado groves. It's a very, very densely farmed area. It's the farmland of California. Well, they've parked essentially 100 train cars that nobody knows what's inside of them. They're just sitting out there in the middle of this incredible farmland, and people are just going, well, why are these cars here? What's happening now? And no one has any sort of answer to that. I mean, we're being played by the global government.
The law that you're talking about, by the way, Michael, where they can come in and seize the land if there's some sort of contamination and things like that, that also exists here in Australia. It's called the Public Health Act of 2005. And last year when I was reading it, I realized that they also implemented those same things that were implemented in Western Australia some time ago into this Public Health Act, which is far reaching and can actually impact other states. This is what they do in Australia. They do it through Queensland so that they can get around some loopholes. I won't bore you with the details, but anyway, in that it says, and I remember reading it and I thought, this is going to be used against us. I just don't know how yet, where it talks about, there's a huge section about contaminated land, emergency, environmental disasters, this, that, and the other, moving people out, quarantining, getting them out. The government can seize the land. Essentially, it is the same playbook absolutely everywhere, and all these laws have been passed under our noses. And unfortunately, Michael, all of the police that stood by and complied with this nonsense play a huge role in the implementation of Agenda 2030. You know, I'll tell you a really quick story, and you know, I don't mean to keep speaking over you, but this is I'll never forget it. I was in Canberra filming the protest, the very, very large protest, which the police told the media, only 10,000 people turned up to, and I put in a freedom of information request asking them exactly what time did you count those 10,000? What methods did you use to count them? What evidence do you have? And is the police allowed to lie to the media? These are the questions I asked. Never got a response for my FOI. This is over a year ago now. There were, I think, at least 500,000 people there from estimation, but let's say 150,000 to be conservative. I spoke with a police officer there because there was a 14-year-old boy with a megaphone saying, "You cannot do this to me. You can't take my rights. I will not comply." A young boy. And I asked him, "Why are you here today?" He said, for my rights, for my freedoms. And I spoke to the police officer that was standing in front of him. And I said to her, "Do you see this? Do you see what you're doing? What you're defending? Do you see it all? People are dying." And she could barely look me in the eyes, Michael. And she said, "We're all in this together." And I said, "No, we're not. Because you are not saying anything about the people that are dying from these injections. You are enforcing these rules that are destroying society. We are not in this together." So I want to ask you in the last few minutes, Michael, and I want to show the audience as well, Roll Call for Freedom. .com. This is the website. The mission is to preserve the medical freedom of LA City employees. Please go to the website. Please support them. But Michael, talk to us about what needs to happen now, because we see the destruction, the plan for the destruction is there. What do police officers need to do right now?
It's not just police officers, Maria. It's the public, you know, because once I take off the uniform, I am a public. I'm just a regular citizen. I often say that if you leave your children a world in which you never stood up, they'll inherit a world where they can't. Men and women need to stand up, because we need to take that veil off of our eyes and know that our government at this point in the Biden administration and in your country globally, they do not have our best interests in mind. We need men and women brave enough to stand up in the gap and protect not just our own lives, but the lives of our children, our grandchildren, and so on and so forth, because the world is changing at a breakneck speed. And the greatest sin of a man in times of moral crisis is to do nothing, fearing that you could only do a little. If we all stood up and did our little parts, if we all banded together, I mean, we could move mountains. You know what I mean? And that's just where this thing is. We can't be continually afraid. We cannot live in fear, right? You have to be able to take that one step forward. And I learned very early on through our activism in creating Roll Call for Freedom that, you know, you have to be comfortable in being uncomfortable. And you know that more so than I do. I mean, you've been out there, the incredible things that you've done in Australia and globally, people knowing your name. You're really making a change, and I respect the hell out of you. But here in America, we're going back to sleep, because our freedoms have never truly been tested. Everyone looks to America as the beacon on the hill, right? But our freedoms are in danger. And unless American men and women, especially men in this country, we need to speak up and we need to get off our asses, and we've got to get engaged. And it starts from a very low level, you know, city council meetings or school boards, and it goes all the way up. You know, we have to vote smart. We have to get engaged, and you know, it just goes from there. You know, my organization right now, even though the city of Los Angeles has recently said that they will accept everyone's religious exemptions, which is great. It ensures people who held out, who based off of their faith, it ensures that they still have a job. But one of the tricky parts is they left the mandate, the COVID mandate in place. And that is a very slippery slope, because now all of those employees are under the thumb of the city government. And at any time, they can inflict new restrictions, new vaccines, new testing policies.
And they will.
And they will, absolutely. And we're trying to fund another lawsuit to go ahead and attack the mandate, because it is a moot point now. You know, we have the Center for Disease Control director, Rochelle Walensky, who goes on ABC News back in early 2022, who says, you know, these shots, they don't protect against transmission. Albert Bourla has stated that it doesn't protect against transmission, you know, and Bill Gates himself has said it doesn't protect against transmission. So our mandate in the city of Los Angeles was predicated on the stopping of the transmission of this virus. So if all of these people have said that it doesn't stop the transmission, why are they still keeping it in place? And that's the action that we are that we at Roll Call for Freedom are trying to fund, because litigation is expensive. And so we have to crowdfund and all that stuff and look for people to donate to our cause, because I believe in this. And I've been without a paycheck for 15 months. I have not worked. I'm still not working. I am an out of work police officer, but I believe in this fight so much, Maria, that I'm willing to sacrifice everything. You know, there's a saying that cowards abandon everyone. Heroes abandon themselves. I'm not calling myself a hero, but the people that are in my organization, they are the heroes to me.
I'll happily call you a hero, Michael, because I think that anyone who sees the statement you just made is so, so pure and so true. Anyone who sees other people's lives as so important that they would give up their own to serve those people around them is a hero. And I often say, just because someone doesn't have a well-known name or a platform doesn't make them any less of a hero as someone with the largest broadcast or the largest newspaper or whatever it may be. It really doesn't matter. Every single person in this fight counts. And you said we have to stand up. This is why I said, you know, maybe some people have lost interest in these legal actions. Maybe some people have lost interest in what's the point? You would never get anywhere. The point is that we have to keep going. Just as they Definitely. Try to tire us out, we have to try and tire them out. It's a tit for tat information war. This is what we must keep doing. So that's why I said at the start, I have so much respect for you, Michael, because you've kept going. And this is what we need. We need that tenacity. We need people who believe in the cause. So I'm going to bring it up one more time. Rollcallforfreedom.com. The mission is to preserve the medical freedom of LA employees. Just one of many, many brave people in this fight, Michael. And we thank you so much for everything that you've done.
And if I could, if anybody has the wherewithal, you know, we are accepting donations. We have a Give, Send, Go, which you can access on our website. I implore, you know, a simple donation of $10 or $20 would really help us all. And just remember that without valor, freedom dies. And like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said, you know, no one has ever complied their way out of tyranny. And we cannot keep complying with this. It's just going to get worse and worse. And Maria, I really thank you for your time. It's been a real honor for me to talk to you today.
It's been an honor to have you, Michael. Truly, I will never I cherish every single person that I speak with, because, you know, this gift of the internet, as horrible as it can be, has made it possible for freedom-loving people around the world to connect. And what those who are in the fight, in the defense for humanity, are seeing is a continued strength and tenacity that I just mentioned before, that I have so much respect for. And it's just evident because of people like you that we're not going to give up. We're not giving into this. And I thank you for that, Michael. Thank you again. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you so much. Good luck.
What an amazing man. And as is every single person in this fight, I mean that wholeheartedly. Share this everywhere, especially if you have members still serving within the police force that need to see this information, because what is coming for them is they'll be pushed out. Please, if you haven't seen it yet, go to zmedia.com, watch my latest Zero Time episode with former police sergeant from the Northern Territory, Kerry Joy. You see the systematic removal of experienced police officers with a conscience, in order to replace them with young officers, with inexperienced officers, with those who are just following orders. And yes, we are seeing the lowest intakes, record lows across the world of police, because people don't want to serve under this new regime, which we're working very, very hard to dismantle. And we will continue to battle in this regard. But in the meantime, we have to prepare for what is coming. Because the next thing is AI robot dogs that don't have a conscience that will shoot to kill. I'm not even kidding. In these little ghettos that they're creating and are attacking now as conspiracy theories, just like they did with the injections, just like they told us we were nutters for thinking the injections are wrong, that there's something wrong with them, and now people are dropping dead in the droves. The same thing is with the smart city agenda. It is horrendous. It is dangerous. Street lights that can kill, geofencing that switches off your bank account, or maybe even your life if you step outside of your district. That is what we're facing. So that is why it is so important to learn to operate outside of the system now. Do not be afraid at the attacks that are coming, and they will come hard and fast. Just look at Ohio. If you're in the United States, head to Heaven's Harvest for the highest quality emergency survival foods. They have emergency survival food, heirloom seeds to grow your own stuff. You can do this even if you're in an apartment. They've got great heirloom seed kits, water filtration and storage. Imagine you are in Ohio right now. What are you going to drink? We need backup water supplies. I have some of this myself from our Australian supplier, which is Survival Supplies Australia. If you're in Australia, head to the link in the description below right now for all of your survival needs. They have emergency water as well, especially if this is especially important if you're in a rural area. Again, look what they just did to Ohio. The water is not safe to drink right now. We don't know exactly what is going on there. If you've missed my interview with Lieutenant Colonel Chambers, Dr. Pete Chambers, please go to zmedia.com and watch that. Because his take on it is a very different take. We interviewed him from the ground on an emergency broadcast. Very, very crucial information. He's convinced that this is a psyop to scare people into leaving. But nonetheless, the water may not be safe to drink, and don't think that it can't happen to you. So particularly if you're in a rural area in the United States, head to Heaven's Harvest. If you're in Australia, Survival Supplies Australia, and get at least emergency water, please. The other attack that's coming hard and fast is the destruction of the financial system. So earlier in the broadcast, we spoke about GoldCo for the United States. If you're in Australia, head to Gold Stackers, the Gold Bullion Australia Group. We deal with them regularly. They're trustworthy. They're willing to answer all of your questions. And the feedback we've had from viewers is that they have been great. They're a fantastic bunch of individuals. And again, I'm talking about SAT123/Maria satellite phone store. Head there and get a satellite phone. You never know when they're going to kill the grid. And this is a form of backup communication, especially if you're in an emergency and you need to get in touch with people. The Bivvy will allow you to still send text messages to your loved ones, even if you have no service, to at least let them know that you're okay. It's a revolutionary device. It's very affordable. Please go to the link in the description below and have a look. We need to arm ourselves because we are under attack. We need to be ready. I was looking at bunkers yesterday. I'm not even joking. We need to be ready for the attacks that are coming at us. They are coming hard and fast. And even if it is just a psyop, at least be prepared, because at any time they could, and they are poisoning the skies. They are poisoning the food. We need to grow our own food. We need to be self-sufficient while we fight the ultimate fight for humanity. Thank you to everyone who's watched this today. Thank you for being in the fight. God bless you, and may he give you strength to continue and never, never back down from these evil, satanic maniacs that seek to destroy our souls. I'll see you later in the week right here on Uncensored. Good night.